Where in Westfield were you born?
Well, that is...
Brick Street.
Mm-hmm. It's Westfield, but Brick Street is still in Westfield, see? Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the side streets mm-hmm. in Westfield?
Well, it's between Westfield and Trout River.
Uh-huh.
That main road through there.
Oh, they call it Brick Street?
Yeah.
Do they still call it that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who were some of the families living around you when you were born?
Oh, Eb Hoyt, George Leahy, Gip Cunningham, Isaac Spooner.
Johnsons.
Those are the prominent farmers. John Follum.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Cushman. Well, that's about all the farmers around there, and that's what Westfield consisted of, farmers.
Was it mainly a Protestant or a Catholic community?
Well, I'd say it was Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Time that I lived down there, there was a man by the name of Tom Rowley owned the biggest farm there was down there. That consisted of about 300 acres.
Tom who?
Down on the Fallen place. Are you recording that now, what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Well, don't ask no questions.
You can ask questions, certainly. And if you feel like adding something, go right ahead.
Well, I was going to say you should tell about the town of Westville, what they did at that time, for there was a lot of people in business. There was quite a few business places in Westville.
Well, not many that I remember.
A lot of them that you remember. The grist mill and the sawmill and the butcher shop and the stores and blacksmith shop. And
at that time, I worked for Johnny Stewart. He ran a butcher shop and a meat cart through the country. And the grist mill, they run a grist mill. We used to grind corn and all kind of grain. I worked for him 5 years. And from that time on, there used to be two dams in the Salmon River at Westville Center.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was to run the butter factory, the other run the grist mill and sawmill. George Rowley owned the sawmill, or John Rowley. George owned it afterward, and John Rowley owned the butter factory at that time.
Mm-hmm. Now, what date was this about when you were born in Westfield?
Oh, this is long after. This is after I was married that I'm telling you now.
Well, when were you born?
I was born in 86.
1886. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was about 15 or 16 commencing from this time I'm telling you now.
Uh-huh.
I'm giving you nothing before that.
Any idea who was running those things when you were born? The sawmill and the grist mill?
Yeah, John Rowley was running it. And
Rob Clark ran the grist mill for years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
John Rowley took over.
You mean Clark ran it before John Rowley?
Yes.
Would Clark have run it before you were born?
The grist mill.
Before you were born, do you think?
Well, I imagine so.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, he was
mm-hmm.
there for years.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Clark. And afterwards, Johnny Stewart bought it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where was that grist mill located in Westfield?
Well, just you go across the Salmon River, going from here down.
Mm-hmm.
It was right up to the right, right at the end of the bridge, up to the right.
Yeah.
The old bridge, not on the new bridge.
The old bridge, same thing. Right in the same place.
Well, the new bridge isn't in the same place. It's way up above where the old.
And there's a starch factory there too, run by George Hale from Malone.
Mm-hmm. Was that on the same side as the grist mill?
No, that was below, on the left.
Uh-huh.
And there's a flume that carried the water down about 100 foot to run that starch factory. Huh. And it used to make potato starch. There was also a hoop shop over this factory where they used to make barrels and hoops.
Hmm.
And that is run by Amherst Stewart. That is George Stewart's father. Now that was all done when I was going to school down there.
I mean, that was all over with. That was closed. Mm. What was a starch factory like? I've never heard one described.
It was a great big building, and they used to grind the potatoes up. And they had little elevator carriers, you know, little cups. Fetch it up and throw it in on places where they dried it.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal like the dry hops. You probably never see them dry hops.
I've heard it described many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's on the same principle. Right, mm-hmm. Only there's three or four different places to put the starch instead of one. Hops has only the one, but the starch, there's two or three of them where they spread it there.
Was it dried by a fire? Or just left in the air?
Yeah.
Dried by a fire?
Brimstone, that's what they used. Same for drying hops.
What is brimstone?
Well, it's something that makes heat.
Something like sulfur.
Oh, was it lit?
Yeah.
You light it?
Yeah,
oh, I see.
Yeah. It's a fuel, that's what it is.
And after the potatoes were ground and dried, were they starch then, or was there something else?
They were starch.
Uh-huh.
And then they were put in barrels and shipped all over the country. And as I said, they made these barrels right overhead. Old Amherst Stewart did. They put them in. Cedar barrels.
Hmm.
And they hold, probably 100 pound anyway. The barrels would. Maybe more.
Hmm. You ever see him make his barrels?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I used to play in the starch factory.
I remember the old starch factory.
We used to play hide and coop there as school kids.
Hide and coop?
Come out of their clothes all white.
What's hide and coop like?
Hide and seek.
Ah.
It's the same thing.
That's what you used to call it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Some would hide and one would blind.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'd have to find him.
Huh, and they called it hide and coop.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You've never heard of that?
I heard of hide and seek.
Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah, I never heard of hide and coop, though. Did men draw in the cedar wood to make those barrels, draw it in from the woods?
No, it was shipped there in lumber.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, originally from the woods, but not around there. I think most of it come from Canada, red cedar. We had no red cedar up here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was a sawmill there in Westfield, too.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Custom mill.
What's custom mill?
Well, they sawed for customers.
Uh-huh.
People drew the logs in there and they sawed them for them in the lumber.
Uh-huh. Did they make shingles there, too?
No, they didn't make no shingles there.
Mm-hmm.
No.
How about matched lumber and things like that?
No.
Chiplap?
No.
Just a regular sawmill?
Yeah.
And who'd you say owned that?
Hmm?
Who'd you say owned that sawmill? The owner?
Raleigh owned it.
Raleigh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
John. Well, there was two John Raleighs. One owned the factory and the other owned the sawmill. The father owned the sawmill and the boy owned the butter factory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How was that sawmill powered? By steam or by water?
Water. Yeah, all water. As I tell you, there was two dams there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was McCaffrey run a blacksmith shop, and Will Avery ran a blacksmith shop, and Frank Avery, there's three blacksmith shops.
It was quite a town once upon a time.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Were you ever over to the potash works in Jewettville?
No, not when they were operating, no. Mm-hmm.
No, did the Jewetts own those?
No. Benwire owns the farm, I guess.
Oh, Benwire sold long ago.
Benwire runs a creamery and used to. Mm-hmm.
But did the Jewetts own the potash factory
in
the old days?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why how the town got its name. Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't they have a lot of the hop yards up there too, Jewettville? Mm-hmm. Didn't Jewetts raise a lot of hops? I think they did, Joe.
No.
Who was your father?
Mitchell.
Mitchell?
Russell.
Mm-hmm. Was he from Vermont?
Canada.
Uh-huh. Scottish?
Yep.
Yeah.
He was naturalized in the United States. Mm-hmm. And
there's been a lot of changes in the last 80 years.
Made his living by farming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laborer. He never owned the farm of his own.
Oh. Uh-huh. Whose farm did he work on?
Ebb Hoyt's, uh-huh. George Leahy, different farmers.
Uh-huh.
George Hale. George Hale owned the big farm beside his hop business.
Mm-hmm. Was your father skilled with hops too, and in drying them?
No. Mm-hmm.
Was your mother from Canada also?
No, she's from Malone here.
What was her name?
LeBrick.
Mm-hmm. Were you the first of your brothers and sisters?
I'm the last. I was the baby.
Oh, you were the baby.
I'm the only one living.
Mm-hmm. How many were there?
Oh, let's see. Phil, Dale, Ann, Em, Evan.
Seven.
Four boys, three girls.
Mm-hmm.
Seven.
So your father was fairly well along in years when you were born?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which farm did you live on of the several farms your father worked at? Or did you live on all of them at one time or another?
Well, I lived. You mean myself?
Your father.
Oh, well. He lived in Ebb Hoyt's house. I told you he worked for Ebb Hoyt.
Yeah, so he lived in Ebb's house.
He had a tenement house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that where you were born?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could you describe that house?
No. But a two-room house with a... I guess a two rooms upstairs, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Four-room house.
Mm-hmm.
Been gone a long while.
Did you live there all the time you were a boy in that house?
No, we lived up west after that. We moved up Westville Center. That was down Brick Street, I told you.
Oh yeah.
After that, we moved up in Westville Center on the Ferris Road. We lived there about all our life. We bought a little place there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bought that place from John Avery. And he's dead long ago. And we lived there, I don't know how long, years and years anyway. My mother died there, my father died there.
Your mother
too. I used to walk, it was a mile and a half, school. Mm-hmm. Winter and summer.
Mm-hmm. Through some pretty deep snow.
Oh, I reckon.
Yeah. How would they plow the roads?
Well, so they used to use a potash kettle part of the time. That dragged right behind them.
And sometimes that's hard for a horse to get through when it's drawing a square sled, because it makes a round.
Yeah, and it's hard for a horse to walk on.
Yeah.
Especially if it froze.
Mm-hmm. Just like a toboggan slide, up and down.
After that, years after that, they had a wooden scraper, you know, with wings. It just come to a peak like this,
mm-hmm.
and then come back here about 4 foot.
Yeah.
Well, they used to put that behind one runner and throw the snow each way.
Yeah.
Just about a foot and a half high.
Like a snowplow, but not so high. Yeah. Not anywhere near as high as a snowplow.
No, they throwed it both ways, see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would the potash kettle make a dent through the whole width of the road?
No. No, just one side.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You don't see many of those big kettles.
No, the antique dealers have got them. Yeah, and they
the last one I see was down what we call Jewett Bill.
Uh-huh.
There used to be a spring there, you know, and the water always came up and went into that big iron kettle, and my gosh, it was all that wide across the top.
About 3.5 feet.
Oh, that one was 5.
Oh, it was a big thing, and it was iron.
That is for people kettle. Driving by, you know.
Mm-hmm. The water, that water. Spring water was always running in there. I stopped there many times to get a drink when I was a kid going from North Bangor.
And they were used to have a watering trough at the butter factory that John Raleigh owned, a wooden one, where they used to water the horses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could you describe the place your father bought on from John Avery?
Well,
George bought that himself, he and his mother, his father
never bought it. Part of it is a frame house, and there's a log part built onto it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's cellar under it. And a frame barn. And that burned by lightning later on. And that's about all there is in describing
it.
It had story
three
and a half
bedrooms downstairs, and a living room, a kitchen, pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And the upstairs wasn't finished off, but they used it for bedrooms, so just the same.
By not finished off, it means the boards were there just to see.
Mm-hmm.
By not finished off, you mean that the boards were there to see.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't completely finished off.
Mm-hmm. Was the log part so you could see the logs? From the inside?
Yes, never was boarded over. See, some of them, they boarded them over. Mm-hmm. This never was.
Is that house still there now?
No, the log part isn't.
Uh-huh.
The frame part is.
Were there many log houses when you were a boy down there?
Oh, yes. A lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, on the McQueen Road, there was no less than 4 up there.
On the road.
Hmm. Who would live in those?
Oh, there's LaFleur's. Jerry LaFleur, and Will LaFleur, Jim Clucky,
LeMay's.
George LeMay, that's 4.
Yeah. Were there any villages around there that have disappeared now?
No, never was.
Any areas called like the Austin Ridge or Irish Ridge or French Ridge or anything like that?
No.
Yeah, there was an Irish Ridge. They called it down in...
Not out of Westville.
Where was the Irish Ridge you knew of?
Bombay, I guess.
No, there was one in Westville down where the old Clark farm used to be. I thought they called that the Irish Ridge.
No.
Maybe not. I lived in Port Covington. I never lived in Westville. I've lived in Westville, but I never was born in Port Covington.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I farmed it up on the south end of Fort Covington, town of Fort Covington, there, before I went to work for... Well, I went to work from there. I was still on the farm, but I went to work at Piercefield, the paper mill. But I only worked there 1 month.
Where was that? Piercefield?
Yeah.
Is that Vermont?
No, right up south. Just outside Tupper Lake.
Uh-huh. Oh, I've never heard that town.
You didn't?
No.
A big paper mill there was at that time. Mm-hmm. It's closed now.
Yeah, that's probably the town is one of those ghost towns.
Yeah,
gradually
quite a little town,
becoming.
Pierceville was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I worked there only 1 month. I came back down here and hired out to Jim O'Shea on the railroad, 1922. I think July, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
And I put in, I worked till 1951.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I first came to work, the railroad, they had a car shop down north of the station here. They employed about 100 men repairing cars. And they kept releasing them. Business was going to go down, go down, go down. But when I left there in 1951, there was 4 of us left.
Now there's no one.
Yeah. There used to be 6 passenger trains a day.
Yeah.
And when I left, I don't know, there was one, I guess there's 2 a day.
I think that
still running.
Utica came through Montreal then, and that day, morning and night.
My father used to meet almost every train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 5, number 2, number 6 in the evening.
Mm-hmm. I used to meet it with him sometime in the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd ride down in the truck and then unload the mail from the mail cars and
yeah.
Go back up. Yeah. Every Saturday night we used to do that.
Yeah,
we had Mr. Emsall coming down here and taking a sleeper in New York one night in the wintertime. And there was a very big storm. There was an awful snowstorm. He got into the train and took his sleeper and got in the sleeper, went to bed, and then the next morning he was still standing over.
Yeah. I've heard of that happening to people in Buffalo.
Oh,
it's yeah, go to bed in Buffalo and wake up in Buffalo. Yeah.
That was quite a joke on him.
Well, there's still one freight a day here yet. One freight runs from here to Valleyfield and back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the railroad business there is left in Malone.
Mm-hmm.
But we've lived through a very interesting period of time, both myself and George. Because I can remember back when the first bicycle that was ever put on sale.
And now look at the cars they've got.
Now just look, the men have landed on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
What we haven't seen isn't, well, I don't know what they'll do next, I'm sure, but I know there'll be something they'll do. Because they'll progress, not go backward.
60 years from now, I don't know what it's going to be like.
I was wondering if there's going to be as many changes in the next 50. There probably will be.
Yeah, I can't imagine what they'll be. But
that's it. You'd wonder what they're going to
do. What else could they do?
Well, when they go to the moon.
Just wonder, what do?
I think that's the last resort.
Mm-hmm.
You read some of the magazines and it's really unbelievable the things that science works out and what they're doing.
Could you tell me what your furniture was like in the little house you had on the from you bought from John Avery? Were things overstuffed or were they mainly wood?
No, we had no overstuff. We had cord bedstead and some slat bedsteads.
Mm-hmm. The slats are the more
and
modern
feather
type.
Tick.
Oh yeah.
Or corn husk. Either one.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, that's what we had. And well, there were plain bottom chairs, that's all you can call them, but we never had no overstuffed chairs.
And you probably had rocking chairs.
Well,
yeah.
kitchen rocking chair. We never had no big rockers.
No platform rockers.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, see. Little wood rocker, cane bottom.
Did your mother have to make her own rugs by hand?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty ones too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth. Nearly covered with homemade rugs that way.
You used to spin our own yarn, knit our socks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She'd have a spinning wheel.
And mittens, yeah.
Yeah. Did she have sheep?
What?
Did she have sheep?
No. The yarn.
What were the stores in the area that time?
Well, there was Wiley's store, and Chape's store, Rhodes' store. There was three stores at Westville Center.
They all burned. I remember when Chape.
Oh, there's quite a place Westville was at that time. The three stores, and three blacksmiths, and sawmill, starch factory, butter factory.
Gristmill.
They used to have a wooden flume that run from the main course of the Salmon River, you know.
Yeah.
Had to carry that water down there about 150 foot to run that starch factory wheel. And the gristmill was just the same. They had to have a flume there that come in from above the dam down through and into the old wooden water wheel. Water wheel was probably 5 foot wide. And it had paddles on it, you know?
Yeah.
Six. And the water come in and hit this paddle and move it around and generate the power.
And the grain was ground between stones.
Right. One stone up here and one stone down here.
Yeah.
And they would come together. And I believe the top one would spin around the bottom one, over the bottom one.
Yeah, that's used to grind grain on. But afterward, the last year or two I was there, we had a steel grinder. Just two big steel plates done the grinding instead of the stones.
Was that about 1900? You'd be 14, 1900.
1908, 9.
So but, the steel grinder, how did that work?
Well, it's just, 5-6 foot high. And there was a place like this come down, you know, to where you feed come in. And there was two wheels. They were only about half inch thick.
Yeah.
But they were, 2 foot high. And they were on the opposite way, see? And there were little notches in them. And that lets your feed go in there, and one of these go each way, and your belt from down cellar run them. Two belts, one on each side, run from that water wheel.
So they were still using water in 1908, 1909?
Yeah, yes.
The sawmill ran completely by water, too.
It's really interesting to go back in history and see the way things were dead.
How they depended on the raw environment around them.
Yeah. Well,
not even steam.
I love to read stories like that. Interesting. And you learn a lot from them too, you know.
People are beginning to forget that even the way of life 80 years ago. Not so much up in this part of the country, but in other parts of the country.
Take when Urschel was over in Scotland. He was in service, he was in England service, but he was in Scotland when the first time that the lights came on there, there was children that had never seen electric lights in that city until they were old enough to know what they were. They were born when the lights had gone out. They didn't use the lights because of the war. And he was there at the time they turned the first. And it's just like the children today, they don't know what we're talking about. We talk about old times, you know. They don't know what a dipper is. A lot of little things that you mentioned, they don't know what you mean by what you say.
It surprises even me.
I suppose so.
We used to sell eggs for 10 cents a dozen, buy kerosene oil for 8 cents a gallon, butter about 20 cents a pound, I think. But there's butter them days, it wasn't oil.
No.
Your mother made her own butter.
Did your mother make it in a dash churn?
Yeah.
That took quite a while, didn't it?
Not too long. Depends on the condition of the cream. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the cream would, if it happened to be just the right temperature, there'd be no time doing it. Mm-hmm. In the butter factory is where I learned how to make butter.
So you worked in the butter factory?
Yes. Uh-huh. I got a recommend here, a first-class butter maker. Huh. B.C. Rockwell owned it at that time. That's after I was married.
We lived over the butter factory when we first went housekeeping.
Yeah.
We lived over this butter factory. Nice apartment. Mm-hmm. And then, convenient.
You had kerosene lamps, of course, in your house.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you have the ones with the big china globes?
Mm-hmm. What was the name of that lamp?
They call it Gone with the Wind nowadays, but it was later on than Civil War. It was
big globes.
Yeah, big china globes.
Mm-hmm. Rail, mail, rail. The silver ones there with the shade on them. Rail, I think. Well, that don't make any difference, does it?
Did you have to carry a lamp upstairs with you when you went to bed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd carry a lantern out the barn to do chores. Mm-hmm.
The lanterns didn't throw very much light, did they?
Not too much.
No.
I don't know how people did their work in those days.
Especially after dark.
And yet we never minded. We always got along.
Was your pump outside the house or inside?
Outside.
Mm-hmm. Was it a far walk or pretty close?
Spring.
Well, only one place when we was on the farm, that was about 2 rod out. We had the well house just covered. Mm-hmm.
Could you hang meat in there to keep it cool in your well house?
Mm-hmm. No.
Our cellar was nice and cool.
We had it as fast as we got hold of it.
And after we married, we farmed it for quite a few years during the war years.
1917. First then, war, World
before
War.
Before then, we were on the farm, but during the war years, we were on this farm. It was one we bought from my mother. But when the Depression came, boy, in blue, it was a depression. Knocked everything to pieces. Then's when we went to Pierceville's work. Mm-hmm.
On your mother's place, did you have your well outside the house?
No, we had to go about 10 rod to a spring.
10 rod?
And carry it up. Hmm. Pail.
You ever use a yoke to carry your pails with?
No.
Just your hand?
Mm-hmm. You had a yoke down there. You must have used
it. Well, we did have a yoke. We never bothered with it. Uh-huh.
So there was a dry sink in the kitchen at your mother's place? Hmm? There was a dry sink in the kitchen at your mother's place?
Dry sink, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was your kitchen table one of the drop leaf affairs?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
10 foot. 4 extra leaves.
Uh-huh. Had to sit a large family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She'd keep her dishes mainly in a pantry, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
She had a cupboard, though. It's a nice dish. Mm-hmm.
Would that cupboard be shelves nailed into the wall or a movable thing like you have in the dining room?
Movable. Movable.
Movable.
Mm-hmm. Large cupboards, nice cupboard. Mm-hmm.
What did people make curtains of in those days, you know, about the time he was 10, 15 years old? They didn't have the things they have nowadays to make curtains of.
No, they had different things, muslins of different kinds, you know, colors.
Mm-hmm. Lace occasionally.
By the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Did that happen? Did your mother's house have very many closets like they do today?
Not any. Uh-huh. Not a one.
So you'd have to find other places that were convenient for clothes. Did you have these big wardrobes? You know, they were 8 feet high?
No, just nails and hooks. Mm-hmm.
Those were rather primitive days.
but simple. Not too much complication to it, you know.
A lot of good times.
People didn't worry that much.
People were friendly. Yeah. They paid a little attention to one another.
They didn't worry that much about, if that little board on the outside of the house was just straight or things like that.
Yes, not.
Mm-hmm. I suppose there were some that did. There's always people that are more or less, fussy about things.
Were most of the houses in that neighborhood painted, do you think?
No. Mm-hmm. Well, there's some of them that were, but not many them days.
Did you know of any houses that had a fireplace for their heat?
No, I don't know of one. There might have been some, that mm-hmm. I never was into that had them, but I don't think so.
I don't believe there's a one down there, but I've been in most of the older homes. Unless it would be Leahy's. Their house was stone. They might have had a fireplace.
What kind of a stove did you have in your living room?
What do we call them? Brazier? Cook stove?
That would be a kitchen
we
stove.
Never had that. Mother had one like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm really asking about your mother's. Yeah. It was a brazier stove?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What'd that look like?
Well, by golly, now let's see. Had a damper on it. It set on legs, and there was a great big space under it here. Where we used to put our wood let dry.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it went way back, and then there was a big oven on it.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't have no reservoir, that one. Not the brazier stove, it had that big oven on. You had to heat the water in a kettle on the stove, if there wasn't any. Or a brass boiler.
Mm-hmm. How is a brass boiler different from a reservoir?
Well, the reservoir is built right in your stove.
Uh-huh. And the brass boiler you can pick up and take off. And
yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember your people having a stove like that. They must have changed, of course, the stove. That was when you were younger.
What did you have in the living room or to heat the rest of the house?
Oh, we had a box stove.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 4 foot long, 2 foot deep, and foot wide, just to burn big chunks in it,
That would keep you busy cutting wood for a little while.
Yeah, there's somebody busy most of the time.
How many cords do you think it'd take you to get you through the winter?
Through the winter?
Yeah.
40.
Mm-hmm.
40, 16-inch wood.
Yeah.
Not 4 foot. Not a solid cord, see?
I see.
Mm-hmm. You see, 316 would make a solid cord.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't 40 single cords would put you through the winter.
If you were going to use solid cords, would it take you 20?
No, it wouldn't take any more.
Mm-hmm. Did the woodshed have a dirt floor in it, so you could dig down to make more room if you needed it?
Yes, yep. The last one we was in did.
At your mother's place?
No, we never had a woodshed there.
So how'd you keep the wood
dry? Yeah, you did too have a woodshed there. She used to put the stove out in it.
We never get wood enough ahead to put in the shed.
Summertime to use for a summer kitchen, I remember.
Well, I know we had a board shed
there in the summertime.
Just a roof over it.
Very much of a shed. But on the farm where we were, we had a shed. And as you say, a pit to pile the wood up in, and then the floor to fire in the floor.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty tough going sometimes at your mother's place, hard to keep the wood ahead?
No, we always had enough to keep going. But we had to cut our wood on somebody else. Somebody always give us a piece of wood for cutting the brush. That's the way we got our wood.
You would
my
cut
father.
The, oh, you cut the brush on their property and
cut
they,
everything clean and
oh,
short out the wood.
Uh-huh.
But you had quite a lot of wood up on the hill there. Grandpa used to cut some up there. That was...
Mm-hmm. Could you describe the barn you had on your mother's place, your father's place?
Well, it was only about a square barn. I think it was about 30 by 40. Had barn floor in it, stable one end, horse stable, cow stable, and a bay.
Mm-hmm.
Put the hay in.
No silos in those days?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't any silos anywhere.
No. Uh-huh. Did the cows, how many cows did you have?
Oh, we had one.
Uh-huh. And horses?
Yeah, one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much land could you work?
13 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And the Plum Brook run right through the center of it.
The Plum Brook? Named after a family?
I don't know what it ever named after, I'm sure. But it's always called the Plum Brook. Yes, on the maps, Plum Brook. It empties into the salmon, the
mm-hmm.
big salmon.
Mm-hmm. What did you grow on the land? Did you grow any wheat?
No.
No. So you had to buy your flour?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most people up there did buy their flour instead of growing
yeah.
wheat. How many acres of corn did you have?
Oh, I didn't have.
Never put in very much.
Might have had an acre. Never figured on doing much farming there, you know. We all worked out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did your mother have any home remedies, you know, for a cough or cold, things like that? Things they don't use
yeah.
today?
Yeah. She had Scott's emulsions, what she always took every spring.
That was a tonic. She used it as a tonic every spring.
Mm-hmm.
She used turpentine for a pain. She had a pain, she rubbed turpentine.
Oh, yeah.
And for cold
or camphor.
And fever, she used yarrow. Do you ever hear of yarrow?
Weed.
I've heard of yarrow, yeah. They call it turkey weed or yarrow.
And yarrow, and you steep that, and you drink it hot. And boy, it'll take the fever right out of your body and the ache out of your bones if you use it the way we used to use it too at our home.
Mm-hmm.
Steep that yarrow for a grip, like, you know, they used to call it the grip. And by golly, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
It's good about relieving pains and taking fever out of a person's body.
Did they have any other sort of home remedies? Like, what would you use for plasters? They have a mustard plasters, and they have other sorts of
mustard plasters. Mustard plasters, usually, with a little bit of...
Turpentine mustard.
Turpentine, not too much, or lard.
Skunk oil.
Lard.
Mm-hmm. Mix that with a mustard?
Yeah. For cold, put on the chest, and... they use a lot of those old-fashioned remedies.
How about lobelia? Did you ever use that?
Lobelia.
Mm-hmm. That grows out wild.
Kind
no,
of
I never used any of that.
I've never seen it. I've heard it, people
lobelia,
that have used it.
I never heard of it. You say it grows in the water like cress?
No, it grows wild.
Oh, wild.
In the woods. Mm-hmm. She never had an herb garden, did she?
No.
What would she do for an earache or a toothache? Was there anything you could do?
Skunk's oil. Heat it. Toothache, use carbolic acid. Put down a baton and
kill the nerve.
How about cough medicines?
Melted butter. It's the best thing in the world for a cough.
Yeah, melted butter. Salt butter. Not trash, salt butter.
And another thing is very good for pain of any kind. You don't know what to put on to do. It's salt pork.
Yeah. A cut or anything like that.
Right on, in good shape. Take the sun at that. Those things were used quite a lot in the olden days.
Did you eat more pork or more beef when you
pork.
Were...
Pork.
Probably had it...
raised our own. I would buy a quarter of beef in the fall of the year. That'd be the limit. Oh, during the summer, I always bought beef once a week.
I guess you did, good many times. And you could buy it for a little nothing then, nowadays.
Boiled potatoes for breakfast in the morning.
That's pretty good sometimes. Ever fry potatoes in the morning? Did she ever, your mother ever fry them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have meat in the morning for breakfast?
Yeah. Meat three times a day.
Would she have toast in the morning?
Not very often.
What would she have for noon, for dinner?
Regular dinner. Meat, potatoes, pie.
Vegetables, some kind of. They lived well. They were not rich, but they always lived good. Never go hungry there.
She probably had quite a few things canned.
Yes so. Yes so.
Mainly berries or vegetables?
Berries and vegetables both.
Not too many women put up vegetables.
No. Potatoes in the cellar for the winter.